Blog Talk Radio.
This is George Gamond, and how is everybody today? Somebody tried to call me, and it's like, wait a minute, you can't talk to me now. I'm doing my radio show. So, are we having fun yet? Okay, let's have some fun. You know, I was thinking about this before I went on the air. I thought, let's skip school today. But I'm the teacher. That doesn't matter. Let's skip school. Let's just have some fun. Let's do a Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Okay. I'll take that back. We're not going to do that today. We're not going to do that. We're going to do something more interesting, perhaps. Where would you like to go if you took a day off, right? Just said, I'm going to go away for a day. Anywhere in the world, where would you go? That's just a question, hypothetical question. If you have the resources, you could go anywhere in the world for a day. I guess it would take more than a day to get there and back and all that stuff. Some places, like if I wanted to go to Australia, it would take forever. Okay. So, seriously, back on to this. Got a caller, but we'll set up the show in a moment. Tell you a little bit of what was going on in my life and a realization I had, which was really a cool realization, a very cool realization. I was walking with my dog to the mailbox this morning. It's a few blocks away, so I like to go on the walk to the mailbox. I could have put it downstairs, but nah. So I walked by an elementary school. And I walk by this fence, and on the other side of the fence are kindergartners, little guys, just little guys, what, 4 or 5 years old, something like that. And I'm noticing the kids that they're of all ethnic backgrounds, they're all different colors, black, white, brown. You know, I can tell that some probably are possibly Muslim because there was a lady who was dressed as if she was a Muslim as one of the teacher's aides. It was just amazing, but they're playing. They're having fun. They're enjoying each other. All these kids from different backgrounds, I'm sure different nationalities, because where I live, there's people from everywhere. Beautiful Pasadena, California. And different colors. You know, the rainbow of colors, right? Yeah, just about. No pink, though. No, there might have been a pink. I don't know. No green. There was no green kids. I promise you, there was no green kids. So, the thought being is, wow, these kids aren't prejudiced. They get along with other kids the same age, different. They're having fun. They're playing. They're laughing. They're chasing each other. They're not hurting each other. They're just having fun. And I'm thinking, wow, prejudice really is something that has to be learned, isn't it? We have to teach them prejudice, don't we? So parents, watch what you say to your kids. But if you can learn prejudice, you can unlearn prejudice, right? I believe you can, because it's a belief system and you can change belief systems. So that was my little thing today is, oh, wow, yeah, prejudice really is learned. And I'm watching these kids going, they're having fun and they're all these different backgrounds and all these different colors and religions, I'm assuming. I'm pretty sure there are. It was pretty amazing. It was pretty cool. It was really a great I should have taken a video of it. I don't think that's a good idea. Nah, I think the school district would kind of frown on that. But I guess I could ask. Making a documentary on prejudice, right? Maybe. Okay, so back to the subject at hand. What we're doing here is we're channeling. I brought that up yesterday's show that I'm going to channel for you. I'll let my spirit guides channel you. I say I have callers. So if you want, you know, information, I'm going to channel my spirit guides, which means I go away and they talk to you. I don't know if you've ever had somebody channel for you. It's a little different. And the way they deal with people is a little differently than, you know, the typical psychic thing I'm seeing or oracle cards or whatever people use. It's and I like doing it because I'm just observing like you are. I'm just listening to what they have to say to you. And it's kind of fascinating. And you talk about coaching. They do more coaching than predicting. I guarantee you that. They love to coach you. and kind of look into what's going on in your life and see if you can help you to get to where you want to go. Okay, so I'll take a couple calls. I got some articles, some fun articles to go over. One about smiling. Ooh, smiling. The other one is 10 essential values to live by. Now, this is pretty much redundant for most of us, but it's good to be reminded of the values that are really important. And I was relating to that too. If people want to get into a relationship, maybe the values, if you took the 10 and said, okay, my partner-to-be really should have the most of these. They should be displaying most of these values, right? Oh, and I got a cool article. And what does your birthmark say about you? And it has to do with past lives. And I thought it was an interesting article about birthmarks on children and adults. What do they mean? And I thought that was an interesting article. We'll do that. I think I might do that one first. And then a couple other ones. Yeah. But I think I'm going to do those too. Maybe the other ones I'll put on hold. Who knows, right? So I'll take a couple calls. And somebody's been holding a while. Oh, you've been holding quite a while. Be patient, right? So it's a 323 and then a 631. Okay. Got it. The idea of channeling doesn't scare you away. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, George.
And whom am I speaking to?
Yvette.
Yvette. So what's going on with Yvette?
I have an interesting question. Well, they're always interesting, right? But not really.
Okay.
There's a guy, and I don't know how to explain it. There's a little bit of something there. And I was curious because I never really would ever think about this person in that way. And I guess I'm really curious, is there a seed being planted or is there something?
Or what way? Think about him in what way?
Yes, romantically.
Okay, so you've known this person for a while, but now suddenly goes, maybe there's something there, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me. Okay, so I'm going to go away and let my spirit guides talk to you about it because they have insights more than I do. And I like them to talk more than me because, you know, then I'm not responsible. Mm-hmm. It's them. Anybody's ever channeled for you before, it's a little different experience because they don't always answer the question exactly where you think you're going to get an answer. They don't always make you feel good. I mean, I feel bad, but they, well, never mind. Well, let's see what they have to say. Did we ever get the gentleman's name?
No. His name is Jason.
Jason. So you want to know if there is a connection, a karmic connection, or a past life connection, or a soul connection with this person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's usually what it comes about, because you meet somebody in your life and there's some kind of connection or need to be this person to be in your life at a certain level, whether it be the person that antagonizes you greatly and makes you think about life, or the person who's the world's greatest lover for you only, right? Either those extremes. So is there a karmic connection? Well, we would say yes. Okay? It's more like a past life than it really is a karmic, and he's coming into your life to stir you up. You like that? Stir you up a little bit. Now, I mean, we're not just talking romantically, but to stir you up, to get you thinking, to get you involved, okay? His reason for coming into your life is to extend, well, we'll give you this. You're going to like this? You're going to like this a lot. Extend your pleasure. Okay? Simple.
Mm-hmm.
Extend your pleasure. Enjoy it. Have fun with it. Play with it. Why wouldn't you? What are you afraid of?
Oh, I'm not afraid. I mean, well, it's just like.
Oh, wait a minute. No, yes, you are. There's something. There's concern. There's a little bit of concern that maybe he is not going to be there for you, right? He's not going to feel the same way.
Well, it's the catch. Yeah, it's kind of like these are seeds I felt were planted, and I felt a different shift in him.
They are. They're planted. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just go for it. Okay? You can do this.
Oh, yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to do it?
Oh, I would. But there's still, I mean, I'm not going to, ask him out. Well, I mean,
well, but you can flirt.
Oh, I can.
You can be friendly.
Oh yeah.
You can be friendly. What do you mean you wouldn't ask him out? You wouldn't say, "Hey, let's go grab a cup of coffee." You wouldn't say that?
I don't know. I mean, I do see him around. And
Why not? Why wouldn't you say that? Let's just go grab a cup of coffee. I got a question for you. Why don't we go grab a cup of coffee? I got to ask you a question. Let's do it over a cup of coffee. Couldn't you do that? Why couldn't you do that? What are you afraid of?
It's not a question of being afraid. It's more about there's a personal. It's getting a little bit more complicated than that right now. It's not actually anything to do with fear, because actually I feel he's really easy to be with.
Okay.
But I think
there's hesitation on your part.
There's hesitation about
hesitation.
In asking any guy out. But it's not,
okay,
it's not about
why?
Rejection. It's about my
what is it?
Personal.
What is it?
I'm going to tell you. It's personal, where I feel like it's an energetic thing. And if I've done it before, I've asked guys out, I don't have a problem. I just feel like if I ask them out, there's a shift in energy that doesn't really work out in my favor if I'm interested in them. Or if there is a connection. If I just see him as a friend, and which he is a friend.
Then establish more of the friendship, and it'll flow naturally into that cup of coffee or that dinner date. Just allow the friendship to grow. It feels like this is growing from a friendship, not the romantic wow. It's not a wow, it's a friendship. So develop the friendship, and as the friendship even gets closer and closer, then the rest of it will naturally flow, and he will be also at the same level. And you both connect at the same time. You won't have to say anything. Just develop the friendship, okay? Just it. That's it. Develop the friendship.
I agree with you. I agree.
Just go for it. But you have to get past that energetic feeling that it's there's something negative about asking somebody for a cup of coffee. And if you've established a friendship already, I'm not saying we're not saying do it with him now. But if you've established a friendship. And if you establish a relationship with somebody at that level, asking them for a cup of coffee will not change the dynamics. You're not putting yourself into this strange void that, oh, I'm the aggressive one and, ooh, I'm going to put him off and he's not ever going to want to go out with me. No, just establish the friendship. It'll work. Okay? Very good.
Thanks.
We're going to leave you. Have a beautiful day. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, I'm back. I go away. Now, hopefully that helps. I don't know if it does or not. See, they're a little different. They don't answer directions questions directly. They want to peer into people a little bit more and get you to think. Okay, so I'm going to take another call and see what's going on. Have a beautiful day. It'll work out. Obviously, it will. You're friends. Why wouldn't it? Okay, I got it. Take a moment here to recenter myself, because when I channel, it takes me a moment to come back. I don't know. I guess Esther Hicks is a little different. She does. No, she stays under all the whole time. Esther stays under the whole time. She stays under for an hour or something or whatever she's under during her sessions. And so she doesn't come out. She lets Abraham talk. And Abraham picks it. But it's hard for me to do that, especially on this telephone thing, to do that. It's like I got to – because I close my eyes. I don't do it with my eyes open. I pride it with my eyes open. It's a little harder for me. I get distracted. The sparklies around me distract me, and that keeps me from being able to channel well. So I close my eyes when I'm doing it. So it's closing your eyes and looking and trying to go, oh, I'm going to talk to this person next. So 631 is the number. I will talk to you. Then we'll talk about birthmarks and past lives. And I thought that was an interesting article. We'll have some fun with that. And then we'll do what else? I don't know. Maybe I'll just let my spirit guides channel to you about a general subject. Because I've been writing my book. I'm about a third of the way through it. A third? No. A third. A little less than a third through the book. And so they've been giving me information on the concept of evolution and how spirit, source, God uses, actually, it's still going on, it's still ongoing process, how they've used the process of evolution to create all of this. And it's really fascinating. I think there's, I've learned some stuff from just writing and, you know, spirit saying, okay, this is what's happened and this is how it happened and this is the why it happened, and kind of fascinating. So one of these days I'm thinking about blogging this. I have a website that I have to kind of clean up a little bit so I can just throw my blogs on there and figure out how to use it a little better. I inherit it from somebody and it's a little cumbersome to use. Okay, so let me take another call, 631, and then we'll move on. We'll have some fun. Yes, we'll talk about birthmarks and past lives. I thought it was fascinating because I had one. Hello? It went away. Hello? You're not there. 631, are you there? You're not there? I'll put you back on. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, you're not there. You went away. So I'm going to put you back on hold. And then I'll come back to you. We'll do an article or something. Then we will let my spirit guides talk to you in general about whatever they want to talk to you about. And I'll check back with you in a minute. And we'll go from there if you still want to talk. So 631 area code. If you're in the chat room, say, hey, no, I'm ready to talk. Pick me again. Okay. But you don't want to be. Okay, so let's talk about that for a moment, and then I'll let my spirit guides talk to you for a while on whatever subject they pick, and we'll talk about birthmarks. And this is from BeliefNet.com. Now, BeliefNet.com has all kinds of articles from the full spectrum of spirituality, from very conservative Christians to articles on Buddhism. And so it's kind of a cool thing because I can pick up articles on. Samantha Fay is the author of this. Reincarnation researchers have discovered, this is the article, so we'll go through it. I've discovered some people who have who died a traumatic death in a past life near the scars. Some people who died traumatic death in a past life bear the scars of those injuries in the form of a birthmark. A birthmark is defined as a benign irregularity on the skin which exists at birth. Doctors believe that they are caused by an excess of pigment cells or blood vessels grouped in one area of the skin. But today, doctors still don't know what caused these pigment cells and blood vessels to group this way and form birthmarks. In the 1960s, Dr. Ian Stevenson, a psychiatrist from the University of Virginia, began studying children between the ages of 2 to 4 years who remembered their past lives. In hundreds of cases he documented, Dr. Stevenson was able to show a direct correlation between a person who died in a prior life and their birthmark now. Now, I had one on my arm. Go onto the article in a moment. Uno momento. I had one on my arm, on my left hand, my left arm, about a third of the way up. Oh, it's still kind of there, but just barely. It's kind of, it looks like a little bit like an arrow. And it was so pronounced at the time, it's faded over the years, that people at school would say, hey, look at that. What is that? What is that on your arm? What is that? And I'm assuming that I was shot in the arm. It was left over from being shot in one of my past lives, because one of them, I know, back in the 1800s, I was shot 6 times. And I said it could have been one of the bullet wounds. And I don't know of any other bullet wounds that I remember, or I can find. Maybe on my back, that I don't look that carefully at from time to time. So, moving right on. Okay. According to Stephen's work, about 35% of the children who claim to remember past lives have birthmarks that can be linked to the wounds of the person they were in the past life. He looked primarily at children between the ages of 2 to 4 so that their memories wouldn't be sculled by family stories and lore. He had strict guidelines for his research and only looked at cases where the past life memory could be verified with names, dates, and in some cases, an autopsy report. So he was pretty thorough. I mean, he wasn't just playing here. He was doing really empirical research on this subject. Stevenson also included cases in his research where the birthmark appeared within 10 centimeters of the wound from a prior life. Aha! Dr. Stevenson began his research by visiting areas of the world that believed in reincarnation. Therefore, children felt comfortable discussing their past life memories with their parents. Reports came from the Buddhists and Hindus in Southeast and Shiites of Lebanon and Turkey and the tribes of West Africa. Now, that's new to me because I never know the Shiites of Lebanon and Turkey believed in past lives. Did you? I mean, they're Muslims, right? There must be a difference between them and Sunnis. Okay, must be one of the differences. But I also found several credible cases in Europe and North America. For example, in Alaska, he studied the cases of Charles Porter and Henry Elkin. Wait a minute. Somebody's trying to call me. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Okay. I got to put a little bulletin out there. Okay, moving right along. Henry Elkin, who had birthmarks with corresponded to fatal stabbings with a spear and gunshot wound. Dr. Stevenson published his findings in a book called Where Reincarnation and Biology Intersect, Birthmarks and Birth Defects. So you might look that up if you're so inclined or find it at the library or online. He studied the case of a young boy from Thailand who had a birthmark on his right elbow. Okay, I'm looking at my arm. Right elbow. It's believed he was in reincarnation of his brother who died in a drowning accident. Before his cremation, a family member made a charcoal mark on his right elbow, a custom done so the soul will be recognized when it's reincarnated. Isn't that an interesting story? It's kind of fascinating, huh? Wow. At a very young age, the young man recognized and called his deceased brother's best friend. He found his brother's formerly lost scout uniform, most notably, had a significant fear of water. So he had that little mark in his elbow to remind him, oh, you're your reincarnated brother. How fun. Okay, Dr. Stevenson investigated 18 cases of children who had memories of being shot at death in a past life and two birthmarks which correlated to every entry and exit wounds from the past life which they were shot. So anybody's listening, kind of look at your body and kind of go, ooh, well, that's an unusual birthmark. I wonder where that's from, right? I got that. I wonder what that's from. And then have yourself regressed or regress yourself. You can do that and see if there's some correlation to a past life. It'd be fun. Be interesting. It'll tell you a little bit about like the fear of water, where your fear of water came from or fear of this. I mean, if you were shot in something, maybe there's a certain fear related to it. Okay. Dr. Stevenson investigated blah, blah, blah. Okay. A Burmese child he researched said she was her aunt reincarnated and had died from a congenital heart disease. The little girl had a birthmark in the middle of her chest, which corresponded to her aunt's scar from heart surgery. Well, isn't that a fascinating story, right? One of the cases Stevenson researched involved a boy from India who had recalled being killed with a gunshot. His past life memories also were so detailed. Dr. Stevens was able to find the family of the man the young boy said he had been, and the boy was able to see the man's autopsy report. The results showed the gunshot wound and the boy's birthmark were a match. I just find this stuff so fascinating. I know you guys are going, oh, would you get past this? No, it's good. It's good stuff, really. Another child he researched said he was a washerman who had been bitten by a snake in his thigh and had died. His father thought this was a very specific memory and decided to research it. He went to the part of the village where several washermen lived, and he was told that a washerman had died of a snake bite to his thigh several years ago, but the family had moved away. Why not? Right? Interesting. Okay, so let's move on here. I think there's a couple more. Yeah. Well, we're gonna do one more, then we're gonna. Well, let me go back to you guys and see what you're doing here. Anybody wants to talk to me? Oh, people are still there. Okay. Wait a minute. Okay. Yeah, I got a new person. So, yeah, as you know, what I'm doing today is channeling, and So if you have a question for my spirit guides, I will go under and I will channel the answer because I love to do that part of it. And then we'll get back to this thing's about scars and past lives. So anybody's listening to the show, kind of look at your body and then go, oh, that's a weird scar. Where in the world where that came from? That'll have no idea. No, scar. I mean, birthmark, not scars, birthmarks. Apologize. I didn't mean scars. Birthmarks, especially if you've had them since you were a child and you're still there and you're going, I wonder where that came from. Then you could be regressed to a past life and find out what happened. It'd be interesting. Because I was shot. Honestly, I know I was shot in the arm and I know it was in the late 1800s or 1870s, something like that. So let me take a caller, 850. And somebody just went away. Oh, don't go away, Matt. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
And whom am I speaking to?
Sheila.
Sheila?
Yes.
And do you have any unusual birthmarks that you're going to go, wonder where that came from?
I'm
just asking that because I'm doing this article and it's kind of really fascinating about birthmarks and how that they can relate to a past life and somehow you were injured in a past life somewhere and you still have remnants of that on your body. Interesting,
mm-hmm.
isn't it? So, yeah. Okay, so what is your concern today? I'm sure it's not birthmarks.
No. I was wondering, do you have any messages from my loved ones on the other side?
Is there anybody specifically?
A mother, a father, a grandmother.
Their names? Their names? Can I have a name? You don't mind?
My grandmother,
first name.
Estella.
Okay, so you know what I'm going to do? This is how I do this because I found it very effective. I'm going to let my spirit guides, I'm going to bring them in. And they'll get a message for you from whoever, okay? Because they're connected to them. They can bring them in. I won't channel them, your relatives, but my spirit guides will get a message for you, if that makes sense. Follow me? I don't usually channel dead people, normally. Okay, so let me see what happens. Well, we'd like to give you a very quick message and a very... very, very kind message. It says, hi, how are
hi.
You? And
I'm here.
We want you to think in terms of, or she wants you to think in terms of being prosperous, that you're living a prosperous life. Are you living a prosperous life?
No.
but let's.
Well, I'm trying to think that way.
What she's trying to tell you is don't worry about money so much. Prosperous means that you're doing an excellent job of life. You're helping other people. You feel successful at whatever you're doing. You're enjoying your prosperity. Prosperity also equates to joy.
Mm-hmm.
You ever thought about that?
Yes.
about that, did you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yes,
the more joyful you are, the happier you are, the more prosperous you are. Because you're spreading it. You're spreading joy. Even if you don't have a lot of money to spread, you're spreading it, right?
I try to. Yeah, I try to.
Well, you do it naturally. You don't have to try. It comes out of you. It flows out of you every
That's
day.
True.
Everybody you meet, you try to send them a little bit of kindness, right?
Yes, I do. That's true. That's true.
So what she's trying to tell you is just continue to do it. Giving of yourself, that showing of kindness and compassion and everything you're doing will have its rewards. It will have its rewards.
Okay.
It may not be the lotto or something like that, but financially and otherwise, everything you really do need will be brought to you. Okay?
Okay.
So
Thank
she
you.
Wants you to hang in there, be strong, be loving, be kind. Be generous of who you are, and that will reap rewards for you in ways that you can never imagine. Okay? But you got to be asking for it too. What are you asking for? What do you want?
Besides
$1 million or $2 million, what would you like in life? What would you like? What would the universe? What would you like spirit to bring you?
Materialistic or non-materialistic?
whatever's in, what, okay, let's frame
right
it this
way. Right
now
I need a car. Right now I need a
okay,
car.
Okay, so let's focus on a car. Why don't you focus? Do you know what kind of car you want? Does it matter?
Yeah, I have done that for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and nothing prevailed.
Well, no, relax. You don't have to ask. You don't have to do it for 3 or 4 weeks. You can ask once. Can you ask once?
Mm-hmm.
Just ask.
Yeah,
ask the universe. Ask God. Ask Spirit. I would like a car, and I would like this particular car because it fits into my budget, and I'm able to handle the payments or handle the expenses of this particular car or cars.
Okay.
You can leave it open a little bit because, you know, the universe is going to bring you something that will work for your needs. So what do you need a car for? What do you need a car for?
Well, I need one because the car I have now, I'm having a lot of car problems.
Okay, so you need a car for work, and you need a car that's in good mechanical shape, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you have your preferences.
A new one would be great.
Well, okay, but you want one that has that is mechanically sound and lasts you quite a while before you have to any have to do any kind of repairs again on it, right?
Correct.
So turn it over and say, turn it over. Okay, that's God. Okay, this is what I want. Now I'm going to imagine what this car looks like. I don't have to ask again. I'm just going to visualize it and imagine it. I'm just going to imagine myself in my new car. I'm going to just daydream about being in my car and driving to work or driving on road trips or taking my friends out to lunch. And they're going, wow, what a neat new car you have. And just do that. Okay?
Okay.
You've
asked. Thank you.
Once you ask,
yes,
you just imagine, visualize yourself in it now. Visualize yourself driving it. Visualize yourself. Feel that steering wheel. Smell that smell inside of it. Feel those seats. Got that?
Mm-hmm.
You'll get it.
New car smell. Yep.
Yep. You got it? Okay. Be well. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. I'm back. Well, that was kind of fun. They kind of get you into that new car. Spirits, I think, you know, when they asked that question of you, if you're still there, I don't know if you're still there, I think that they were trying to help you. Spirit was saying, okay, we're going to help you. Not indirectly, they were saying that. We're going to help you. So what do you want? It's like, it's asking, it's kind of a joke here, but it's asking like the genie, what do you want? You're tapping into the genie. Now, you can believe it or not believe it. I think I'm the craziest person who ever existed. But when you talk to Spirit, that's what you're saying. You're talking to that genie that can make anything happen for you within reason. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
She went. Okay, so
I'm here.
Kind of they just told you to visualize it, so visualize it now.
Okay.
What they didn't tell you to do is use all five senses. The sense of smell, the sense of touch. Visualization, what does it look like inside? You don't have to get so specific that you rule out the possibilities, but it looks shiny, it looks new, it looks, you know, it looks, when you open the door, it works well, you know, everything, the air conditioning works really well when you turned it on. Just use all your senses.
Okay.
You don't have to visualize yourself licking the dashboard. That's not a problem. You don't have to do the taste one, but you can do the rest of the senses, okay?
Okay.
Unless you're eating something inside the car, and then that all smells like it smells like a taco or it smells like a hamburger. You wouldn't do that. You're not going to eat in your new car anyway, right? No. Yes, you are. I can tell you will.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Be well, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have fun. You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye. Yeah, she could visualize herself eating inside of her new car. Why not? Have fun. You know, like, oh, I'm driving and eating. I remember I went on a hike with my neighbor. And he's kind of, he drives fast, right? And we hiked for, I don't know, quite a while. And we got back into the car and he was really hungry. And he's finding McDonald's and he goes, I got to eat something. I got to eat McDonald's now. And he's, I'll drive. No, I want to drive. Okay. He's driving. He's eating his whatever he's eating and his soda and his fries, all in. It's like he's practically driving with his knees on the freeway. And I'm going, oh my God, we're going to die. We got home, but it's like, hopefully my friend here doesn't do that, you know. Elbows, driving with the elbows and eating a sandwich at the same time is not healthy. I think you can get a ticket for that. You really could get a ticket for that. So I'm not, hopefully I'm not exposing anybody's bad habits here. Okay, let's go back to the article. Unless anybody wants to talk to spirit, you want to ask them a question about what's going on in your life, and we'll do that. I have fun doing this. I really do. To me, this is like a lot more fun than normal psychic stuff because they talk to you directly. I get out of the way. I get to hear it. And they like to have fun with you folks. They just love to have fun. They just love the opportunity to talk to you directly. I didn't realize how much they really like to talk to you. So if you want a private session with my spirit guides, and if you don't want everybody who's listening to the show to hear what's going on, my email address is there in the episode info. My phone number is there, and also my website. And I think the website has my information, so you can email me if you. Okay, so contact me if you're interested in doing this and getting a message, and it's $1.20 a minute. Okay? I know there's gentlemen out there who channels and does this sort of thing. It's $200 an hour or something really, or $300 an hour or something crazy. I don't know if they're really that good. I don't know. I don't put anybody down. They could be. Okay, let's get back to the article. How much time do I have? I got 8 minutes. Let's just read a little bit more. In 1980, young fruit seller named blah, 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 Monsieur Ali collided with a tractor and died from injuries to his right side, and he suffered several fractured ribs. Less than a year later, Nahish Kumar was born. Nahish. He had a similar mark and depressed area on the right side of his body where his ribs were located. No, ribs. As soon as he learned to talk, he spoke of the memories of selling fruit and driving a cart. He was born into a Hindu family, but would speak about being a Muslim and would kneel for prayers when no one was watching. He recalled selling mangoes and even talked about dying in a collision when he was 4 years old, when Nahish saw Mushar Ali's father in the village. He ran up to him, calling him father. This was very difficult for the fruit seller's family, as they didn't believe in reincarnation. But when the young boy was taken to the fruit seller's home, he recognized all the family members by name and even mentioned a man who had owed him money. The family of this deceased fruit seller then accepted Nahish as the reincarnation of their son. So that's kind of a cool story, isn't it? So even reincarnation, now I didn't read the next page. I didn't get to the next page. Let me look at the next page and real quick, 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 quick. Okay, quick. No, there's not much on here to... Okay, let me do this. Jim Tucker, a psychiatrist from University of Virginia, is concluding Dr. Stevenson's work. Tucker reports an old woman who died in Thailand with a desire to be reborn as a boy. Her daughter marked her mother's neck with a white paste should be recognized when she was reincarnated. Soon after, the daughter gave birth to a son with a birthmark on the back of his neck, exactly where she had put the white paste on her mother's neck. Dr. Tucker has written several books on his finding, including Return to Life, Extraordinary Cases of Children Who Remember Past Lives and Life Before Life, Children Memories of Previous Lives. So, interesting stuff. I think, you know, that really can be convincing to someone around you that, oh, yeah, past lives, interesting idea. Anybody want a past life reading while we're doing this? We're all into this reincarnation. And, oh, we got a caller. Well, I got a few minutes left. Let's see what we can do, a quickie. We always do quickies around here. Hello. It's a quickie. Hello.
Hello. Hi, George.
Hi. Whom am I speaking to?
Hi. My name is Jenny. And, yes, I would love a quick – yeah. Well, actually, Genevieve.
Genevieve. Well, that's a beautiful name.
Oh, thank you.
So any particular topic you want, my spirit guides, any particular – past life. Oh, okay, cool. So what year were you born? You gotta tell me.
1943.
So let me go back, and they're going to help me on this. Spirit always helps me on these. When did you die? 1920s. 1929, 28, somewhere in that time frame. You were a woman in a past life. you lived in Liggett, Arkansas. Where do you live now?
Los Angeles.
You've never been to Arkansas?
No, but I was born in Texas. That's
okay,
close
well,
to Arkansas.
You lived a past life in Arkansas. You were a woman. You died in 1928. You were in your 70s. Okay, I'm trying to get some information, so I'll give it to you. You're in your 70s.
Okay.
You died of heart failure. Okay? You had a chronic heart condition, which you didn't want to carry into this lifetime. You wanted to be perfectly healthy. I don't know. Do you have any kind of physical ailments like that now? I don't think you do, do you?
No, I'm very healthy. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's why. That's why I'm saying that you didn't want to bring that one into this lifetime. You said, "Nah, that was miserable. I'm not bringing that one back." Okay.
Okay.
That's why I said that. Okay. So died in your 70s, but I'm trying to get like what you did for a living or occupation. You lived in Arkansas. It would seem the obvious thing is you're a housewife, but I get more than that. I get more that you were a doctor. Okay.
Super.
You were a female doctor. You're a nurse doctor, kind of like, I see the stethoscope, and I think you primarily worked with children. Okay? You worked with children. You loved
Great.
Children. You had your own. You had three in that life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your husband outlived you by a little bit, not long. Okay? Do you have a brother mm-hmm. now? Do you have a brother?
I do, but I don't know him. It was from friendship that my father had.
Okay, well, he was your husband in a past life.
Oh, son of a gun.
Yeah, that's what I get. That's why I mentioned, because I heard brother, and I thought, well, let me verify that that's correct, that you have a brother. So, yeah, he was your husband. Okay?
Okay.
So maybe he just doesn't want to be in your life. You know, maybe there's that connection, but he just doesn't, you know, like, eh, you know.
Well,
what?
He was born in another country, so, you know, far, far,
yeah.
far away.
Yeah,
when
but
I was
he's
a little
still,
girl, my dad had a, you know, friendship.
Yeah, a thing, yeah. Okay, but he is your husband, so there is that connection, though. So you haven't reconnected. That's okay. Doctor, children, three children. Do you have children now?
Yes, sir, I have four, but the explanation is really nice. My father was a chiropractor. But he did all
mm-hmm.
kinds of medical work, and I love medicine, and I know a lot about medicine, and I
well,
love reading about it and helping people. So,
see, that's
I haven't gotten over it.
Yeah, you carried that one with you. Yeah. Do you like children?
Mm-hmm.
You still like
children.
See?
Yes.
Yeah, we carry a lot of that stuff with us. We really do carry a lot of the stuff from lifetime to lifetime that you needed to complete this.
Great. I'm
okay.
glad to hear about that. I was still helping people. That makes me happy.
That's your job. That's your job. That's your
Can I
your
ask
purpose.
You a quick question, George?
Yes.
Do we have time for okay, I'm going to be appointed a trustee for a trust that's been a mess for 5 years. The deceased, my brother-in-law, signed a note that he owed a friend $80,000. That was a long time ago that note was signed, a personal note. And now the friend, you know, wants to collect, but is showing no proof that maybe my brother-in-law made payments. Maybe he didn't. Now the friend has raised it to $120,000. Is there truth?
You know what?
Is he telling the
truth? Let me stop you there because I'm going to be really careful in this one. First of all, you need to talk to an attorney. That's what I hear first. That's the first thing I was starting to get. And they need to – if there is no valid proof of a loan, right, there's no contract
right. –
It's verbal?
Well, no. My brother-in-law signed that he owed his friend $80,000. But that was many, many years ago. And my brother-in-law was a decent man. I'm sure he tried to make payments, but according to the note, no payment has ever been made. I don't believe that, but maybe it's true. Is the friend telling the truth?
Hey, real quick, and that's what I hear, there's some exaggerations there. Exaggerations. Okay.
Okay.
Exaggerations. Because he's saying now it's
okay.
120 because of interest and blah, 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 right?
No, the 80 had interest in it. All of a sudden, he's kicked it up to 120.
I know. It's an exaggeration.
Well,
it's not truth.
Okay.
Okay, that's what I get.
Good.
Okay? You take care.
Will the truth come out?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yes, wonderful. Thank you, George. Bless your heart.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, we're out of time. Well, it's been fun. Well, I don't remember from my friend in the chat room. I don't remember that statement, and that's interesting. I don't remember. That's cool. Now that if that's truth, I'm sure it is. Okay, we're out of time. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll do the same thing. We'll let my spirit guides talk to you about whatever's going on in your life. Love you guys. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye. Wait a minute.